The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Seahawkers podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz. The Seahawks had their mock game Saturday afternoon. Geno Smith, Drew Lock battling it out against the first team and the second team. And while we had Bob Condotta and Greg Bell out on Twitter live tweeting the game, we also had Frost in the Discord. And if you want to become a part of the flock and get in the Discord, $3 a month up at getintheflock.com, you can participate along as well. But Frost, he was picking some of the best quotes from Bob Condotta and Greg Bell. We have Bob Condotta saying, Lock with a perfect pass on a seam route to Metcalf, who bobbles it and then reels it in at the 4-yard line. Greg Bell tweeting that with Drew Lock, along with the first team offense, he went on a drive. Lock was 5 for 5, 62 yards. A nice little check down to running back Ken Walker in the flat after he saw a couple wide receivers covered deep. And it was Ken Walker getting in the end zone with the touchdown run of 4 yards. Greg also tweeting out that Drew Lock was 10 for 10 passing with both the first and second team. His 10th pass was an acrobatic touchdown catch by Cody Thompson with a nice little back shoulder pass and cornerback Tariq Woolen, who was all over him in coverage. Lastly, of the tweets that Frost noticed, he had Greg Bell tweeting that the most impacting defensive player of the first half for the Seahawks, rookie cornerback Tariq Woolen, 2 pass breakups, a near interception, and he just would not let Marquise Goodwin past him all camp. So some interesting posts there. Thanks to Frost out in the Discord for pulling those out. We also had the unofficial passing stats from the Seahawks posted. And Geno Smith, 10 of 19 for 94 yards on the day. Drew Lock, 18 of 27 for 185 yards and a touchdown. And we had Jacob Eason going 3 of 6 for 22 yards. And interestingly, it seemed like Drew Lock was playing against the first team defense most of the day. So 18 to 27, 185 yards, primarily playing against the Seahawks ones on defense. It's definitely good news for Drew, but it seems like also bad news for the defense and also bad news for Geno Smith, because if he was 10 of 19 for only 94 yards and he was going up against the second team defense, well, I think we're just going to have to wait and see how we see things go in this first upcoming preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and see how they do against them. We're going to hear from some press conferences, though, from throughout the week. On days 5 and 6 of training camp, we heard from some of the offensive coaching staff, in addition to some of the newest members of the Seahawks. We're going to start with Charles Cross, who talked about the biggest difference between playing in college and playing in the NFL.
I'd say definitely the play style, like the play calling. It's a variety of run and pass. But I feel like it's going pretty well. I'm just doing pretty well.
Next up is rookie running back Ken Walker, who talked about his experience at camp so far.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. You know, the first couple of days was kind of hot, so had to get into that. But it's been good. You know, OTAs made it a lot easier for me to get acclimated. And then you got Penny, Homer, and all the older guys are always willing to help me get better. So it's great having those guys, and it makes it a lot easier for me to come out here.
And in case you want to feel old, here's who Walker said he liked to watch on tape growing up.
I would say growing up, I watched a lot of backs, but a back that's here, like in the league now, I used to always watch Saquon, like in high school. So that's somebody I used to watch all the time.
Yes, those good old days when Walker was in high school and Saquon Barkley is still a running back in the NFL. The last of the trio of rookies to take the podium was Kobe Bryant, who also touched on his camp experience.
I feel like camp is going great for me. You know, I'm learning something new every day. The coaches are on me, you know, pretty tough. But, you know, that's what I expect, you know, coming in as a rookie and, you know, just have my head down and work and, you know, just continuously getting better.
Kobe, who many consider the standout from camp so far, has enjoyed the high volume of targets he's getting.
Me being a competitor that I am, I love it. You know, I don't like days where I don't get targeted because, you know, I feel like I'm not getting better. But, you know, even when those days do happen, you know, I have to do something different that I didn't do to, you know, make myself better.
And before we get to Shane Waldron and Andy Dickerson, let's hear from Uchenna Nwosu, who spoke about his acclimation to Seattle.
I feel like I've done pretty well. You know, starting to get a little warmer, you know, which is nice. It's not too hot. But yeah, Seattle's cool. It's a nice city. You know, I'm still, you know, checking places out. I'm still seeing different things, but overall, it's nice.
Taking a break from the move-in process, Nwosu had a chance to go to Ghana to scout future talent as part of an NFL program.
Yeah, it was nice. I was able to, you know, do the thing with NFL Africa and go to Ghana and, you know, try to look for players, you know, to help bring to the States and, you know, possibly play in the NFL as part of that pathway program. So that was a good experience. I'm looking forward to doing that again. There were definitely some guys that knew the game, you know, definitely, of course, teaching because there's no football over there. But they were, I was surprised by the amount of athletes that were there that knew how to play. They have facilities out there where they train and work out and they practice and things like that. So, you know, those guys just keep getting better and there's going to be more and more in the future.
And speaking of scouting new talent, here's what offensive coordinator Shane Waldron had to say about Drew Lock.
I think he's done a really nice job of picking up the offense. I think as a whole, you know, with the ebbs and flows of training camp, especially, you know, going against a good defense where, hey, sometimes they're going to get our number, sometimes we're going to get their number, but about how you finish the practice. And I thought today really exemplified for Drew, just finishing strong and keeping that level-headed mindset throughout the course of the day.
The return of a certain recently extended receiver, DK Metcalf, if that wasn't enough of a hint for you, it should help Drew Lock's performance in camp.
I love seeing him back and all in, you know, happy to have him back in here. And, you know, I thought really appreciated the way he handled everything in a good professional manner. And then he gets right back out there. And, you know, like anything else, it's still a process to get back into the swing of things, get back into the timing and rhythm. But as far as from a mental state, from a physical being in shape state, you know, he's right picking up where he left off. So he's just doing nothing but trying to be that positive leader day in and day out within the building.
DK's return to camp came along with Pete Carroll's absence from practice due to his COVID diagnosis. Pete was out there, though, in the mock game after his 5-day mandatory quarantine. And here's what Waldron had to say about what it was like for those days with Pete out of training camp.
You know, his presence is missed, you know, but I think the one thing is he set such a good standard for this program, the way we handle our business day in and day out. So, you know, unfortunately, COVID got to him and you know, he's in there in spirit and also on those Zooms, you know, which is the one positive thing that we did take away from COVID, the ability to adjust and adapt when we do have to get on some of those Zoom calls. So, you know, Carl Smith did a great job taking over and then everyone else just steps in and fills in roles just a little bit more until he returns.
In Pete's absence, it was business as usual, as Waldron and company evaluated who would be a good fit as a third wide receiver among some of the younger players.
Comes right back to that competition thing, right, where we got that good competition for that third receiver spot. And Freddie Swain is always going to be steady. He's always going to be working hard, playing tough, knowing what to do, okay, looking for his ops. And I think he's done a great job, again, of picking up like he did last year of where he left off, knowing the system and being really that physical presence sometimes in that receiver room where he needs to get in there and do some of the dirty work, move around a little bit, and then still provide good options in the pass game there. And then outside of that, you know, we got a bunch of guys that are in a group. You know, we got some young guys. We got guys like Cody Thompson and Aaron Fuller that have been around that are competing and still up in their game every day that they're out here. And D. Eskridge, I can't wait to get, you know, I go reference like Rashad Penny's situation where sometimes, you know, those injuries are out of your control. And I think the hardest part for D right now is knowing that he wants to be out here every single day. And again, a guy that's tough, physical, and wants to be out there, just has some bad luck has prevented him. So I can't wait till he gets his chance to really show what he can do.
The Seahawks have a few other good competitions on the offense, including at running back.
Yeah, I think competition just brings out the best in everybody. And we've got a lot of good competitions across the board. So when you look at that running back room, you got guys with different levels of experience. And obviously with Rashad coming in here, you know, had some bad luck throughout his career, right? That's the bottom line. And he comes in here hyped up, ready to go, in great shape and pushing himself. And then so he starts it and then everyone else has to catch up. And Ken Walker's done a great job of getting right in there. And then we know like Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, they're coming to work every day. And then Josh Johnson and Darwin Thompson, like all of those guys are pushing each other. And you really feel their juice. Because I think the one thing that Chad Morton's done such an excellent job for us on offense is bringing that energy, bringing that feel of, hey, you know, what's that running back position provide to the day in, day out feel of the offense? Because it's not just running the ball. It's the energy. It's how they finish. Like they can really be those tone setters. And so starting with Rashad, moving right on down with the lead of Coach Morton, like those guys have done a great job of that.
The two rookie tackles will also be looking to have starting jobs come week one.
Both Charles and Abe have done a great job of really melting right into the veterans in the group. And it goes right back to the competition with Stone and Jake, the different guys there that are rolling in with them. Just like we talked about with the quarterback position, they're all helping each other. And those guys, you know, some rookies might take a little time to figure out how to fit right in. And those two guys have both come in with that professional approach. You know, you see them around here all the time, kind of just hanging out in the building, you know, wanting to be a part of whatever they can. And with Andy Dickerson and Kalii Koiva, just being able to work with them day in and day out. And, you know, they can't get enough football. So that's a good starting point for some football players right there.
Lastly, Austin Blythe is expected to nab the starting job at the center of the line.
I think for Austin, with the communication part, that's so important to me. I mean, being around John Sullivan back in L.A. and even going way back to Notre Dame, you know, he was a center that had such great command and control and charisma at the line of scrimmage. And then when Austin was able to step into that role, when Sully retired, you know, you really saw Austin had learned from him and taken those things. So I think he's transitioned all those tools that he's learned as a communicator, because he's already got the leverage, the play skill, all those things. But his communication is at an elite level. So you can see him come into a new building and not just about getting out there, but about helping the rookies, about helping guys with calls, about working together with the offensive line. So, you know, I think Austin's done just an excellent job of coming in and being a new guy in the building, taking that time to get in, get acquainted, but then taking on a leadership role. And you can see it growing each day.
Here were offensive line coach Andy Dickerson's comments on Blythe.
You know, he's had a history with similar offense, the offense, his communication skills with the guards. You know, he's played guard and center in this system. So his ability to talk to the centers, the guards, and the tackles, because he's hit different type of blocks with, you know, multiple different guys. And, you know, the right tackle may hit it one way. And yet, and then again, as you see, like, we have different guys rolling in every time. So just to understand the different combinations, the communication, ask good questions. So just that experience, you know, and just bringing that and everybody and working with everybody.
Dickerson also spoke highly of right tackle Jake Curran.
A true pro number one comes in and, you know, able to play guard spots and tackles. And the cool thing is to see him and Stone talk to those younger rookie tackles and other players. And the way they'll, you know, I'll leave the field and sometimes they'll be out there doing drills and I'm like, oh, good job. So the fact that their leadership, their experience, when you've had to block and set a guy in an NFL game, home and away, it's just a totally different experience. You get more comfortable with every time you do something for the first time, and he's not afraid to share the knowledge and, you know, help the room get better altogether.
Wrapping up, here were his impressions of the Seahawks' first-round pick, Charles Cross, so far.
I think he's been pretty consistent and, like, steady with it, because, you know, he's quiet, but not quiet. It's kind of weird. He's just been himself. Like, he comes in, he asks good questions. He's engaged all the time. Like, he's answering questions. I'm asking questions to the right side about a combination block, and he's answering it. So, I mean, I don't think I've learned anything new yet, right? Just spending time with all the guys, but, you know, just happy with, you know, the way he comes to work every day. He's got a great demeanor, smile on his face. Just, he's trying to get to work, coach. Let's go.
That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Wilson Kahn for producing this episode. Follow him out on Twitter at @Wilson_Kahn, C-O-N-N. And like I said earlier, if you want to become a member of the flock, you can go to getintheflock.com. You can be part of our Discord. $12 and above gets you into our Facebook Ring of Honor group. A lot of Seahawks talk happening in both spots. And so if you want to be a part of it, you know where to go. And until next time, go Hawks.